today as we come to the table.
I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them," that is God, "he'll live among us, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God." Again, what a great day. We're living with God. There he is, his glory, and we're all together forever. And note this, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Can you imagine the day when there'll never be sorrow again? Nothing ever to cry about, ever? "There shall be no more death," done. "Nor sorrow," sorry, "nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away."
As Pastor Mark continues his teaching series through the book of Revelation, he'll be reminding you that no matter what you're going through, there will be a day when God himself will wipe away every tear and there will no longer be any pain and suffering. We will dwell in paradise with God himself. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. How humbling is this heart-rending picture of God himself reaching down in the most intimate and tender way to brush away the tears from our faces. The image represents the Lord's ultimate victory over our greatest enemies at the culmination of history. The final enemy, death itself, is destroyed. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Revelation chapter 20 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
"They shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You know, it's interesting. It says the second death has no power. In a minute, we're going to see that they stand before the Lord and he opens the books. The Bible says that everything we do is being recorded. NSA has nothing on the Lord. Matter of fact, they don't have near the information the Lord does on what we're doing. Now, some of you as believers just kind of, oh. The Lord sees everything we're doing, but the difference is if you're a believer, it's being erased. And it's not being erased on a hard drive that can be recovered. Once the blood touches this hard drive, it's done. It talks about he'll open the books. We'll get to that in a minute. It would appear there's going to be the word of God. The law is going to be there judging people on the law. If they're not perfect, they can't get in. If they've ever messed up once, their whole life. It says it's going to judge them on their works that they did while they were on the earth. There'll be another book of their works. Everything they've ever done. Ours has been erased. How many of you guys like God's eraser? You aren't kidding. This is enough to make me rejoice forever. And then, get this. It even says that every idle word that we speak is being recorded. I hate that guy. Sometimes. Add that addendum. Every idle word that we ever speak. Now, again, as a believer, we go, because the moment it comes out, it's erased. There's no hard drive. God's not collecting that information. It's gone by the blood. That's the beauty of the cross. But for every person who doesn't have the cross and the blood, every idle word. I have forgotten more than I remember. Can you remember? Imagine staying before the Lord and not just being judged on the law, perfection, or judged by everything you did on the earth without Jesus' forgiveness, and every even idle word under your breath or in your heart that you spoke, and it's all recorded in books in heaven. That's what the Bible says is there. And if you don't know the Lord, that should be enough to scare you into the kingdom. You know, I don't think that fear is the tactic that should be used very often, but that would get my attention. But the beauty of it all is that for us, we don't have to worry about that because it's gone. It's just absolutely gone. It says verse 7, "And when the 1,000 years had expired, Satan will be released from his prison. So when the 1,000 years is up, God will use Satan again. By the way, Satan is just a servant of the Lord. He's not a willing servant of the Lord, but God uses him as a servant. He just does God's bidding. He's not equal to God. God's not battling with him, and this is a tough one. God just uses him, and all right, boom, you're in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Now I'll let you out again. Why does he let him out? Because some of the people that are born during the 1,000-year reign, see, when we go into the 1,000-year reign, we will have our new bodies. We will not be marrying or giving in marriage, all right? We already have our new bodies. We are now married to Christ, and whatever that's going to be like, we don't fully understand it, but that's what it's going to be. That's where it is. However, there are going to be some people still in their mortal bodies, sheep and the goats, that get saved after the rapture. They're going to go into the 1,000-year reign. Well, guess what they're going to be doing? Marrying and having children. So there will be children during the millennial kingdom. The Bible says that the lion and the lamb will feed together and a child shall lead them. You see a child, you know, holding the little chin of a lion, come on, pulling down the street, you know, and the lion licking him and then playing, you know. That's what it's going to be like. I'd heard somebody talking about, can you imagine the stories in that day? Son, you know, used to, these things right here would eat you. No. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they used to attack people. No, not my scruff. Even scruff. Yeah, even scruff. He would have done that, you know. Because all the animals are going to be kind and friendly and everything's going to be like it was. It's going to be a whole different world. But you're going to have all these people being born. There'll be generations. 1,000 years, you can have a lot of people in 1,000 years. Multitudes, millions. And there's going to be a large portion of them that say, I just don't want to follow Jesus. I'm not going to do it. And some of you are saying right now, how in the world could you see Jesus in person and not love him and follow him? Let's not forget that many people saw Jesus for 33 years in person 2,000 years ago, and they rejected him. So they're going to do the same thing. They're going to reject him and not going to follow him. And when Satan gets out, God's going to use Satan one more time to gather all these people together. He's going to gather everyone who's rebellious to God. They're all going to come together in a great big army to Jerusalem, and the Lord's going to wipe them out once and for all. He's finally clearing the slate, starting over fresh. Then he'll do the new heaven and the new earth. By the way, for those of you who had the false teaching in psychology like I did growing up, that if everybody just had the right environment, everybody would turn out okay because really everybody's really good by nature. It's their environment that makes them bad. The millennial kingdom rebellion will silence that forever. Because you could not have a more perfect and pristine environment than the millennial kingdom. Everyone will be rich. Everyone will be loved. No one will have problems. There'll be no wars, no drugs, no fighting, no difficulties. Perfect environment. With Jesus Christ, our perfect leader, ruling over the earth for 1,000 years. And at the end of it, there's going to be a huge rebellion. Why? Because the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the Bible says we are born evil by nature. And the reason our society is so messed up today is because we think that everybody has a little good in them. And if we just do the right thing, everybody will get along. Wrong. The only good we have, the Bible says, is what God gives us either by teaching of morals by those around us or by us giving our life to Christ and his goodness comes through us. But the Bible says that each of us, our flesh in and of itself is evil. Even though I haven't liked to admit that, by this age, I can admit my flesh is evil. I don't have a problem admitting that. I recognize the truth now, although I fought it for a while. The reality is anything good in me comes from Christ or what I was taught by others who had morals. And then what the Holy Spirit teaches me now. And that's going to bear out during the 1,000-year reign. You can't have a better environment. You know, if these kids just had a better chance. I'm not saying that giving a kid a better chance in certain circumstances cannot head them the right direction. I'm not discounting that aspect completely. Please don't misunderstand me. What I'm saying is, for those who think everyone is born good, and there's a whole group of people today who believe that everyone is born good and then their environment makes them bad. That's why we're so messed up. We don't understand human nature. Everybody's born bad. And if you got a good enough environment, you can help them get towards something good. So it's reversed, and it's going to bear out during the 1,000-year reign. It's going to be very clear for everybody to see. Notice verse 8, Satan will be released. He'll go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four corners of the earth. That is the expanse of the earth. And God uses now again this Gog and Magog to give a picture of all those that are rebellious, because there is that picture of rebellion in man. And he says he'll do this to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. So there's going to be large numbers of people who are going to be rebelling against Jesus during the millennial kingdom. By the way, during the thousand-year reign, they won't be because we won't let them. The Bible says we'll be kings ruling with the Lord, and we will rule all those people that are being born and go in with a rod of iron. What that means is we won't be cruel, we won't be mean, it just means we won't put up with anything. And think about it, being a supernatural being, if somebody begins to think they're going to do something wrong, it's all like, hey, what's going on? Nothing, man, nothing. We're just kind of standing here. Okay, just making sure. Okay, God bless you, you too. They walk off and you fly off. We're going to keep things under control. That's what the Bible says. But when we stop doing that, they're going for it. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. That's Jerusalem. So here they come. This is that final battle, that battle that we talked about at the very end, the third battle. You have the Russia-Iranian battle. Then you have Armageddon. Now we have the third battle at the end of the thousand-year reign. That's the one this is talking about. They surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Wow, I mean, just amazing to me they could pull this off. I don't get mankind without the Lord, the mindset. I mean, I was unsaved for 25 years, but I never thought that I could take God. So I don't understand that mindset, but either way. And the devil who deceived them, here's why they thought they could, he deceived them. Was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. Notice that. They're already there. When did the beast and the false prophet get thrown in? The beast being the Antichrist, the false prophet, this world religious leader. When did they get thrown in? If you remember, they were thrown in at the very beginning of the thousand-year reign. In Armageddon, it says Jesus comes back and he grabs the Antichrist and the false prophet by the scruff of the neck. It doesn't say that. I'm adding that. But he says he grabs the false prophet and the Antichrist and he throws them into the lake of fire. So they will be the only two people in what we really know of as hell for 1,000 years. They'll be in hell alone, those two, in the lake of fire for 1,000 years. Everyone else will be in Hades waiting to be thrown into hell at the end of the 1,000 years at the great white throne judgment. That's where they are now and they'll stay there till then. Then they'll come up and be thrown in with those guys. But before they get thrown in, the third one to go in the lake of fire, the Bible tells us here, is Satan. So Satan will be thrown in with his buddies, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. You know what forever and ever means? Yeah, it means forever and ever. Now, there are people today, annihilist, from being annihilated, annihilism, that say, well, I don't believe that. I think that they may suffer for a while, but then God will just let them disappear and they won't suffer forever. Or some even say they'll suffer for a while, then be brought into heaven. The Bible doesn't say that. It says they'll be thrown in the lake of fire forever and ever. And remember the warning we talked about in Revelation 22? If you change the words of this book, the plagues that are in it will be added to you. I'm not touching that. If God said it's forever and ever, I'm not touching it. I dare not alter what God said. It's what it says. Now we come to this final judgment at the end of the 1,000 years. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. That is, the Bible says that when this happens, God tells us in Peter that not just the earth and heaven will flee away, but the entire universe, everything created. He's going to destroy the entire universe, and he's going to build a brand new heaven and a brand new earth that has never been tainted with sin. See, right now the universe has been tainted with sin. So he's going to destroy everything, and heaven and earth are going to flee away. And this is interesting to me, because when we see that the Lord destroys all of the universe, the only ones he judges are those on earth. Why is that important? Because the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Which means if there were any other beings on other planets, what would they be guilty of? Sin. Because the Bible says all have sinned. That would mean any other being out in the universe. But when the Lord destroys the universe and brings judgment to the great white throne, it's only people of earth. Which tells me we're the only ones here. There are no other beings on other planets, although that's fanciful and can be exciting as a kid, maybe even as an adult. I'm sure I wouldn't be popular at the Flying Saucer Museum in Santa Fe. There is one, by the way. But Scripture says it's only going to be those on earth, man, that are judged standing before him, and that means there isn't anybody else. He says, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open. Okay, here's these books we talked about. Every outer word, word of God, all our works, there they are. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books, plural. You know, if you think you've got a good argument before God, you better have a lot of good arguments in a lot of different areas. And by the way, you won't have a good argument. But if our name's in the book of life, there's nothing there. You know, when God takes the book of life and he sees your name and he goes, let's check the reference here. Let's see, here's Mark's name. Let's look and find out all of our records. You know, kind of like the doctor. Let's check the files here. Page after page of emptiness. There's nothing there. Isn't that great? And same thing for you. There's nothing there. It's like this, I may have told you, forgive me if I have, but we've got this book on our coffee table that says The Joys of Growing Old. I told you guys about that. It shows a picture of an older man, older woman on the front, you know, kind of standing there on the beach together, and tells her name and the title of the book, you know, The Joys of Growing Old. And on the back talks about the authors and all these people that give them their, you know, accolades, whatever. And you open the book and there's nothing in it. Page after page of blank. The Joys of Growing Old. I'm understanding that book more and more as time goes by. It's easier to read, you're right. Don't even need my glasses on that one anymore. Got it. Page 2, got it. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Again, this is just symbolic of everyone who's died in the sea. Their souls would be in Hades, but he's talking about, you know, all that have died in the seas over the centuries. Think about the flood. And think about, you know, all the people and the ships that have gone down and all things that have happened. Now, again, many of them are in heaven. We know that. But again, speaking of those that have died in the ocean, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. So death is a substance. It's something. It's more than just a word. I don't think it's a guy with a big, you know, scythe or scythe or however you say it, you know, with a big robe on his head. But at the same time, it is something. And Hades is where all the souls are of those who died without the Lord. They're delivered up before the Lord at this great white throne. And notice, and they were judged, each one according to his works. There it is again. Judged according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. We talked about that. Second death. It's like the second resurrection, the second death. They will die eternally, if you will, be alive, but yet dead. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Now we get to the end of the 1,000 years, and he makes a new heaven and a new earth, creates them. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Now don't be upset. I, if you love the sea, I love the sea, and I know this, that the Lord says everything is much greater in the kingdom than it is here. So whatever it's going to be way more awesome than the ocean is now. Don't worry. But there's not going to be a sea as we know it now. And then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You know, what a picturesque language to use, because when a bride is getting ready for her wedding, she's going to do the best she can to look the best she can. And so this New Jerusalem coming down is going to be the most adorned, beautiful city that you've ever laid your eyes on. And I don't think our eyes, we can't even imagine what this is going to be like. Our eyes couldn't even absorb it right now. We're going to need new heavenly eyes. The Bible says even our body couldn't withstand the glory we're going to see. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. That is God. He'll live among us. And they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. Again, what a great day. We're living with God. There he is, his glory, and we're all together forever. And note this, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Can you imagine the day when there'll never be sorrow again? Nothing ever to cry about, ever? There shall be no more death. Done. Nor sorrow. Sorry. Nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Can you imagine a world without any issues? No surgeries, no aches, no pains, no emotional hurts, no heartbreak, no broken bones, no rebellious child, no broken marriage. No sleepless nights. It's done forever. Guys, this is a blip of time that we have to put up with this. Be encouraged. It's going to pass. And then you never face it again forever and ever and ever. This is why it's called good news. And he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. That is a new heaven and earth. It's all brand new. All the others have been wiped away. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And by the way, it's interesting. Notice, these words are true and faithful. This gives us so much encouragement and so much hope. And he tells him to write it down. John, make sure you write this. Let my people know this is true and faithful. I told them it's going to happen. They can believe it. It's going to happen. Isn't that great news? And he said to me, it is done. Reminds me of it is finished on the cross. I am the Alpha and the Omega, that is the beginning and the end. And I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. Notice this, freely. If you want the Lord, God gives it freely. You wonder, why would anybody deny what the Lord has to offer? It's because Satan deceives us before we give our life to the Lord. And Satan's deceiving the world today. Think about it. If you were to say to somebody, look, I notice you're on that scooter. I'd like to give you this Lamborghini. You would be a fool not to take the Lamborghini. And yet, how many people say, I don't want the Lamborghini, man. I don't know. I kind of like the scooter. And, you know, I'm glad the Lamborghini worked for you, bro, you know. But for me and my tennis shoes, we shall follow the scooter. You think, why would you do that? Why are you hanging on so tightly to this thing that's all going to burn up and be gone when you have this glory in heaven forever that's more than you ever dreamed or imagined? And yet people do not, they don't want it. It's amazing. It's because of the deception of Satan. Notice this. He who overcomes, that is the believer, shall inherit all things. Everything is yours. The kingdom is yours. Jesus said to his followers, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I mean, you're going to own the kingdom. It's not going to be, wow, I wonder what it's going to be like to be, what it would have been like to be a king. You are a king. It's just, this is real. It's not a game. It's real. It's exciting. And it's coming to a universe near you. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly and the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, again, that word pharmakia, those that abuse drugs, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And again, he's not saying if you've ever done one of these things. Probably every one of us at some point has been cowardly or unbelieving or maybe even been abominable or maybe not a murderer, but maybe hatred in our mind, sexually immoral, all these things. We could be guilty. He's not saying if you've ever done these things, you can't go to heaven. He's saying people who do these things but don't repent and turn to Christ. If you've given your life to the Lord and you tell a lie afterwards, you're still going to heaven. Now, there'll be some consequence because the Lord's not going to let you get away with it. He spanks his kids. But he's not talking about these things. People that live this way as a lifestyle and they don't turn to Christ, this is where they're going to be. It's the second death, and they're going to be judged forever.
And just like that, another episode of Come to the Table is coming to an end. Speaking of endings, we're in the final book of the Bible, Revelation. The events mentioned in this book can be somewhat frightening for those who don't know God. But for those who have put their trust in Him, there's much to look forward to. The end of Revelation brings so much hope and joy as God makes things right and ushers in a time with Him that will have no ending. It's hard to imagine, right? Sometimes our finite minds just can't fathom what eternity will be like with Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for what He has in store. If you're interested in getting to know us in person, you can come be part of what's going on at Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. For over 20 years, it's been incredible to see how God has used this community of believers in our community and through His radio outreach. Keep in mind that there's always a seat for you. Sunday mornings at 9:30 or 11:15 a.m., Saturday night at 6 p.m., or Wednesday night at 7 p.m. If you can't make it in person, that's okay. Join us online. We stream our services through the Way Media app that you can download from your app store or right from thewaymedia.net. Just scroll to the bottom of thewaymedia.net for a link to our church info too. As we come to a close today, know that we care about you. We pray for you, and we look forward to you joining us for another edition here May the things that you've been learning in the book of Revelation really stick with you, connecting you to the one who holds everything in the palm of his hand. This has been Come to the Table.
Come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.